Together. God of peace and love, on this Memorial Day, we got once again gathered to remember. We remember that in Jesus of Nazareth, you've called us to be people of peace, saying, blessed are the peacemakers, and reminding us that we're to love our neighbor, we're also to love our enemy as we love ourselves. Yet, Lord, we acknowledge that there are times when we as a global community fail to live out those words. Times when young men and women hear the call to don the uniform of their country and serve under their flag. Lord, today we give you thanks for all those who have chosen to serve their country. We give thanks for their bravery, for their commitment, for their love. We know that when armies meet on the field, there are always some who don't come home. And so we pause in the memory of those who went and did not return to the loved ones left to grieve. God, whose hope for the world is peace, on this day, we not only remember the fallen who lied buried under a military tombstone. We pray for those who returned from the battle forever changed by what they had seen. For those who bore and still bear the wounds of body and their soul. And Lord, as we gather on this Memorial Day weekend, we also celebrate the birth of your church at Pentecost. We remember the moment when your Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers, igniting hearts with courage and faith and hope, just as your Spirit united people from every nation and language. Remind us today that we are one people under your grace, called to carry your peace into a divided world. May the same Spirit that empowered the early church continue to strengthen us to live boldly, to love deeply, to serve faithfully in the name of Christ. And now, God of love, may the remembering that we've done here today reawaken and strengthen our commitment to work for that peace, true peace. Lord, help us to remember that peace will never truly come from a gun barrel, but it comes from the depth of our hearts. Help us to remember our calling to be peacemakers at home and abroad, in the big things and in the small. And may we never forget the cost that has already been paid. We thank you, Creator, for hearing our prayers this morning, not only for those in need, but for those who need to share in the joy of your answered prayers. God of peace that surpasses all understanding, we pray our remembrances and our hopes in the name of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who taught his friends to pray by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So like I said, today is Pentecost, so I want to read from the book of Acts. It speaks of the birth of the church. Tells of the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared on them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But the others sneered, and they said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire, smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as a pastor, if I ask most churchgoers to name the three biggest celebrations of the Christian year, people would probably quickly say Christmas, and then they would say Easter. But I wonder how many of us would think of Pentecost as the third great celebration of the church each year. And yet Pentecost is exactly that. Today is the birthday of the church. Today we celebrate the promised arrival, what Jesus had told, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Today we celebrate the arrival of that Holy Spirit. We remember the moment when the wind and the fire, they swept through Jerusalem and they touched the disciples in a way that changed everything forever. After his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they were clothed with the power from on high. That was 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven that promise became a reality. It happened during the Jewish festival of what they called the Jewish Festival of Weeks. Shavuot in Hebrew is what they call it. Pentecost is what it was called in Greek. It was a festival celebrating God giving the law or the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. So Jerusalem was packed. They were all there for this festival. There was travelers from all over the world, people speaking in all kinds of different languages, coming from all kinds of different cultures. And into that crowded city came the sound from heaven. Acts chapter 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit arrived with the sound like the rush of a violent wind. Now normally, I think when we picture the Holy Spirit, we think of really peaceful images. We think of the dove. We think of a quiet whisper. Of a gentle comfort from the Holy Spirit. But in our passage, Luke, the writer of Acts, wants us to understand something special here. This moment, it was powerful. This moment is disruptive. It demands, absolutely demands the people's attention. The disciples saw what looked like flames of fire separating and resting over each and every person. And suddenly they began to speak in languages that they had never learned. Can you imagine the scene that day? Pilgrims from all over the world hearing Galilean fishermen speaking in their own native tongues. The crowd, I just bet they didn't know what to think. I think some were amazed. Others were confused. And of course, some did what people still do today. They see something that they don't understand, and instead of trying to understand it, they just automatically mock it. This amazing thing was happening, and the first thing they say is, they must be drunk. And Peter, he stood up right in the middle of all this chaos, and he declared, these people are not drunk. This is the Spirit of God. And in that moment, when he spoke those words, the church was actually born. So let me simply say this morning, happy birthday to the church. This morning, I want to spend just a few minutes thinking about two things that showed up on that day, the wind and the fire, and what they teach us about the presence of God. First, let's talk about the wind. Notice carefully what Acts says. It does not say there that there was a violent wind blowing through the room. Here's what it says. A sound like the rush of a violent wind. Jesus spoke about this spirit this way in John chapter 3 when he said this. He said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit often works. You can't see the wind itself, but you can see what the wind moves. When the curtains blow with an open window, you know. You absolutely know that there's wind there. When the trees bend, there's no doubt that the wind is there. When you feel the breeze against your skin, you trust that something is moving around you. That's how the Spirit, that's how it works in our lives. You may never physically see the Holy Spirit, but we see the evidence of His presence. We see when hearts are changed, when lives are restored. We see the presence of the Spirit when courage takes over where fear once was. Peace, when we see peace in the middle of the violent storms, we know the Spirit is there. I remember one time, several years ago, I was kind of a young hunter at the time. And I was working all day, and I got off just a little bit early, so I ran to my favorite hunting spot after work. I was a little later than I wanted to be going into the stand. It was kind of prime time. Things were starting to move. But I figured I could still squeeze in. If I got out there really quick, moved quiet through the woods, I could still spend a little time in the woods with nature, with God, and just unwind a little bit for the day. Well, there's one main trail. It went right through the center of this set of woods that I had to hunt. It took me directly to my favorite hunting spot. And as I walked in, I was kind of going fast, not trying to make too much noise, but moving as quickly as I could through the woods. And all of a sudden, I caught movement off to my left. I looked over, and it was the kind of buck that every hunter dreams about. Had a huge, huge rack. I was actually so close to this deer when I noticed him that I could hear him breathing. I was probably a little bit less, or right around 20 yards away, and he had absolutely no idea I was there. No idea that I was there. Head down, feeding, two does with him. I just froze. I didn't move. And then slowly I I picked up my bow. I knocked an arrow. I come to full draw. I settled in on my pin. And I just waited for the perfect shot. Now, if you've ever bow hunted, you know that a lot of things, especially the wind, can affect the path of your arrow. Now, today's bows, this was several years ago when I was hunting, today's bows are much faster, much more forgiving. But way back then, the bow that I was using, it was not so forgiving. And everything was perfect for this shot. He gave me a perfect broadside view. And when I knew the time was right, I hit the trigger and I released that arrow, and then I heard it. The wind came up, and just enough, and I watched that arrow float right over the top of the back of that deer. And whack! It stuck in a tree right behind him. And the next thing I heard was that buck crashing off through the woods, laughing at me the whole way with his two girlfriends. Here's the thing. I couldn't see that wind. I barely even felt that wind. But I sure knew that wind was there. And I can tell you this, the wind saved that deer on that day. And sometimes the Spirit works like that in us too. We may not see Him directly, but we can absolutely trust in His presence, and we can trust in His power. That's the wind. And then there was the fire in Acts. It says this, divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Whether this was a literal fire or something that looked like fire, Luke, our author, is clearly connecting this moment to the presence of God throughout Scripture. Think about Moses, how he experienced God in the burning bush. God revealed himself through fire that burned without consuming. God was present there. And now in our scripture for today, God's presence is showing up again through fire, not on a mountain, not in a bush, not hidden behind a curtain in a temple, but resting upon ordinary believers. That matters. Because Pentecost reminds us that the presence of God is no longer confined to just one place. Through the Holy Spirit, God now rests, God now dwells within His people. When the Spirit touched the disciples, they were changed. Jesus had already justified them. He had already redeemed them through the cross and through His resurrection. But now the Spirit empowered them with boldness. The Spirit gave them a new passion, a burning desire to share the gospel. They weren't speaking nonsense or meaningless sounds. They were proclaiming the mighty works of God in languages that everybody, each person there could understand. The gospel was no more staying in a room. It was going out. It was set free. It was going out into the world. And hear this, that same Spirit still empowers the church today that empowered Peter and those disciples a couple thousand years ago with all different kinds of cultures. You know what that, or do you know what controls, especially in Wisconsin here, I'm sure most of you probably know what directs a controlled prairie burn. It's the wind. You can't see it, but the fire is still spreading. You know, when you see that, you know that something is moving. The wind gives the fire direction and it gives it power. The Holy Spirit still does the same thing in the church. I can remember reading about the 1983 America Cup yacht race. I remember it was a big thing back, I graduated high school in 1980. And I can remember all the ads going on about the America's Cup race. The United States had held that title, the champion of the cup for years and years. But Australia, for some reason, they were mounting a serious challenge to the United States. And everything in 1983 came down to one final race. The crowds were huge for this race. They gathered. Television cameras were everywhere to watch this race. The boats were ready. The crews were ready. Everything was all set, but there was one problem. The day of this final race, no wind. Zero wind. And in sailing, no wind means no race. Nothing. Nothing moves without the wind. And the same can be said of our faith. Spiritually speaking, nothing truly happens without the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Hebrew and the Greek words for the Spirit both carry the same meaning, the meaning of breath or of wind. I heard one preacher say it this way, "I can't fully explain the Spirit of God. Jesus says it's like the wind. You don't see the wind, but you know it comes. You know when it comes, you know when it goes." Church, every time we share the gospel, every time we encourage someone, every time we speak hope into someone else's darkness, the Holy Spirit, the wind is moving. The same wind that rushed through Jerusalem on Pentecost is still blowing through us today. The same fire that ignited the disciples still burns within the church today. So church, may we trust the wind. May we follow where the Spirit blows us, where it leads us. And may the fire of God continue to burn brightly within us. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we are so blessed to live in this country, to be part of this nation, to be able to worship the way we do, to allow the wind to guide us, to blow us, to move us through not just our country, but it's blown us around this globe. Lord, your church isn't just in the United States. Your church is all over the world. We're just blessed to be able to live in a country that was founded on those principles. We have people, soldiers, in harm's way today, Lord. And we pray that your Holy Spirit blows them to spaces of safety, places of safety, keeps them safe. Lord, as the church, we want to be the peacekeepers. And sometimes peace comes at a high cost. Jesus gave himself on the cross so that we could be free. So as we remember our fallen soldiers today, as we remember the birth of the church today, as we bring our gifts, our offerings, our tithes, as we bring ourselves as a holy living sacrifice to you, Lord, we would ask that you would bless us, that you would bless our gifts, that you would bless our tongues of fire. Set that fire loose in us so that the world experiences the peace that you offer. Lord, continue to bless us. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.